this morning about the seasons of life. That is so much better. Thank you for doing that. Pat yourself on the back, will you? Much, much better. In Ecclesiastes 2:26 through 3:8, which some people think that this is just a song like, turn, 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 turn. It's not. That's what that Beatles song was about, you know? That the seasons turn, the seasons change. Well, it's not about that. It's so much deeper in the truth of God. To everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal. There's a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones and there's a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time of war. And a time of peace. And verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world, or He has set eternity in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. Now, you and I don't understand what God's making from the beginning to the end, but He's given us this clue that He's divided it up into seasons. And He's going somewhere, whether we are or not. One of the oldest books in the Bible brings to us the revelation that there are times or seasons for things to happen in life. A season in our lives is a time frame allotted for things to happen. That's a season. And God has set seasons. And He puts us into seasons. And He establishes seasons for us, like the one we're in now. This is a confused season. April has become March. But I have confidence that because God made everything, He's going to get it to work out all right. But we need all these little cool spells, even though we don't like them. It's all a part of developing the things that we're going to grow and that we're going to love in the future. See, it's clear that seasons is God's way, and it's God's hand at work. God has already appointed these seasons, and the wise man who cooperates with the season rather than trying to manipulate it or deny it will be glad. If you cooperate with the season rather than to try to manipulate it or deny it, you will be glad. The Lord spoke the words to me recently. This is where this comes from. The Lord spoke this to me recently. Work according to the season you are in. He said that to me. Because I was telling Him I really preferred other seasons. Well, He said, this is the one you got. The world, the church, people, attitudes, mentalities, things are a certain way in some seasons, and they're different in other seasons. This church is 42 years old. We've been through a lot of different kinds of seasons during that period of time. And woe to the man who tries to make today look exactly like yesterday. It's not the season for that. And don't pine over the season that is past, because the best is yet to come. And so the Lord spoke this to me, and He showed me some things about His set times and season. It is easy to do things when it's God's season to accomplish those things. It's like it's greased. It's like God puts it on wheels. But if you struggle to do it out of season and out of time, you just got a problem. During a season, things are orchestrated around us in such a manner that our efforts are supported. There are personal seasons. You may be clear on the will of God to yourself and still have confusion about the timing of God. Abraham was real clear about the will of God, and he counted the stars and he counted the sand, and he knew that he was going to have all this progeny, but God was too slow for Abraham. So he and his wife together thought they would manipulate this. How many of you know that that's why we've got the problem in the world today with the Arabs and Israel and all of this kind of thing? It began way back there with all of that outside the will of God. Now, I'm not blaming Abraham for all our troubles. I'm just trying to give you a picture that these are the kind of things that happen in life. God has a time. The result of it was Ishmael, a child named Ishmael, that caused fighting and wars from the time between nations. And it caused trouble in the home between Hagar and Sarah. And they were not able to live with the results of their manipulation. There's a season. Things have to come together. God works it together. You know, it says that he knows the end from the beginning. He says the works that he has for us were ordained from the foundation of the earth. He knows what he wants each of us to be doing. If we'll respond to God and be obedient and walk with him, we can get a lot done. It'll save a lot of grief and provide a lot of light if we understand that we belong to God, and the way we will enter his blessing without struggle is to cooperate with his seasons. I didn't really think, I guess when I look back, I still don't think I was ready to do what God called me to do when I did it. But it's like, I talked to a lady in Chicago at Zion City there that Dowie created, and John Lake was connected with that. And she told me of a letter that was written by her husband to John Lake. At a certain point, he said when he was ministering in Africa, it just doesn't seem that we're getting the powerful healings. We're not making the great progress that we were having in the beginning. And she wrote him back, sometimes because of a need at a certain place, the Lord will use a vessel that's not quite ready. And then he applies the cross to that person's situation and that person's life and brings them up to speed so they can really do what he wants them to do and be trusted with it. Insisting on making today exactly like yesterday is an exercise in futility. God has seasons. Paul said we should forget the things that are past and press forward to the goal. Are being determined to bring tomorrow in today, which some people wish their lives away. I wish it was tomorrow. I wish I were out of school. You know, I wish I had this. I wish I were older. I wish I had more experience. You don't want more experience all of a sudden. You'd just be left a pound of hamburger. You can't stand too much experience too fast. You have to take it in doses. That's why God sets the seasons. Sometimes we're not ready for God's plan to be executed. That's the reason that there are preparation seasons. I heard Catherine Kuhlman preach once, and she said, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, when I was younger, I had so much energy, I had so much vitality, I ran everywhere I went. And then you gave me this great ministry when I no longer had it. Why, God? And God said, if I'd given it to you earlier, you would have blown it. All through the Word of God, we see that God plans His work and then He works His plan. Blessed is the man that accepts the will of God and walks according to His plan. God has a clock. You know, He really has a clock. For example, when the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time, imagine time getting full. Full of what? Full of itself, I think. When time, the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, Galatians 4:4. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5:6. The scripture says, when they were seeking to kill Jesus, no man laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. John 7:30. Deism is the old teaching they used to do that said that God made the world, set it into motion, and walked off and left it. It is not that way at all. He set it in motion, and he is very much in charge of everything happens to this moment. If you want to know how things are going to end up, you can read the prophecies. You can read the book of Revelation. It's be safer than just listening to every prophetic voice these days. It's to get in there and find out some things for yourself and let the Holy Spirit really verify exactly the kind of things he's going to be doing. Because it's all in there. It's right in the book. God has a plan. So there's different kinds of seasons. You've been through them. You may go through them. There's a dark season. Sometimes there are dark seasons when we don't understand what God is doing. One has said, when you can't trace his hand, you can trust his heart. And we have his promise, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Look, church, I want an expected end. I want to go out with a bang, not a whimper. I want to continue in this thing until I've done what I'm supposed to do, and then I'll say, farewell, farewell. It's been great knowing you. But there's no need to think that you might just turn out any old way, depending on what people decide what happens to you. I have learned in life that people cannot decide what happens to me. I have found out that God is in charge of my life. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and he does build it, if it's his church. So there are seasons of preparation. Now, this is very important to know. There are seasons of preparation. Sometimes the seasons are for preparation, like Moses showed that he was still thinking you could get rid of your enemies by killing them and burying them. At the time that he was assigned to 40 years on the backside of the desert, that was a season. When he came out, Moses found out there was a better way. It made him a much better leader. You know, you can't lead people by killing them and burying them. It thins out your future destiny considerably. So this was Moses' desert season. It was necessary. Everybody say it was necessary. He was not yet the man to lead God's people. Seasons eventually run their courses. That's the good part. You like that scripture? It came to pass. Seasons eventually run their course. I just tell you openly about the time that John had his open heart surgery. It was about 2002, maybe, or 3 or 4. Anyway, about early 2000. And I can remember thinking, because I was fixing him special meals and doing all of these various things. There was a lot to do in taking care of him during his recovery time. I remember walking down the hallway in my home and thinking, I don't feel like I can do this. But that season passed. And it really wasn't all that long. It's just a pressure that I felt in my flesh. These things pass, church. The good news is the seasons pass. And how you walk through the season is everything. Seasons eventually run their course and accomplish their purpose. It's important that we decide that we're not going to break down before the breakthrough. We got to get through that season. Or else, as Bob Mumford said, it'll just be another lap around the mountain. That's what happened with the Israelites. One more lap. It took them forever to go what was just a few days' journey, because they kept not learning the lesson. There could be a sickness of season. A season of sickness. No, these things don't bother me a bit. I just go right on and preach. Some go through seasons of sickness. The enemy tries to convince them, you'll never get well. In fact, you're going to get worse. Never doubt in the dark what God has promised you in the light. He said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I said, that's your word, Lord, and it's true for me. It's true for you. It's what God has given his people. It's up to us to find out how to get this thing done, not to wonder if it's really going to happen. The scripture says he healeth all my diseases. There could be seasons of financial pressure. There may be seasons where you just don't know how you're going to get out of it this time. But we have His promise that we will reap what we sow. And the faithful tither can expect to receive God's promise. It will happen. I can tell you this many years down the road, it will happen, pardon the bridge term, in spades. It will happen. The faithful tither can expect to receive God's promise. We will reap in due season. In that season of pressure, you will learn how to trust Him and how to walk in His word for deliverance. This goes to every area of our lives. There are times you'll look back upon the season you had a problem with your spouse, or a time that you had working with your children, and you're grateful to God for how He showed you to walk in that time, and that you came out in victory. Though it wasn't easy, it was a season, and you walked through that. And that's something that I hope I can open this up to us for understanding. There are seasons of His church. It's obvious from history that God continually unfolds His plan for establishing His church and His kingdom. And it's going to happen just the way He says it is. And you read it all the way through the book. We win in the end. God has His way. He establishes His kingdom. In fact, the Revelator even told us there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and we're going to rule and reign with Him. I mean, that's going to happen whether people get discouraged or not. It doesn't matter how many churches refuse to preach things like this. They're going to happen anyway. It's the Word of God. Just considering the last 100 years, if we were writing a Bible today, it might read something like this. Last 100 years. In the fullness of time, the Holy Spirit descended on a place called Azusa Street in 1906. It might say in 1948, God in His mercy poured out His Spirit and brought revival to the whole world. It was the same year that Israel became a nation. The major nations of the earth in 1948 opened to the preaching of the gospel that very year. This was followed by healing revivals that lasted about 10 years around the world. And Kenneth Hagin's statement is, in those days, it was easy to get people healed. Why? Because it was the season, and everything around it was cooperating. The people in their misery were turning to God. God, in His great mercy, was pouring out gifts of healing. Everything was cooperating, and it was easy to get people healed in those days. I'm still reading from the new Bible that we're writing. In 1967, a great charismatic renewal broke through on traditional churches so that full gospel was preached everywhere. And people were amazed that Catholics and Episcopalians were among the first to embrace the Holy Spirit. This is a season that God ordained. People of all ages became very hungry to have any experience with God. A new faith took hold on them, and they began to receive the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. This renewal went all over the world, so that the largest denominations of Christians throughout the world became Pentecostal full gospel in that belief system. The scripture came to pass that many reaped where they had never sown. It was easy to get people saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit at that time. That's about the time this work was begun. It's the year I was saved. The people rejoiced greatly, still reading our new Bible. The people rejoiced greatly when God began to move in the charismatic renewal, because in the 60s, there had been a great cultural revolution in America. It was really a devolution, but they call it a revolution. I mean, that is devolve, you understand. At Woodstock and other places, young people gathered to prove that they had no respect for the moral norms and that they planned to overthrow them. Well, get another plan, baby, because some of us didn't buy it. Of course, they were turning against the teachings of the Word of God in order to serve the lusts of the flesh, and it just suited them fine. And much of the Broadway agreed with them. Now, let me pause to make an observation. This is me speaking. Before the 60s, America was a very different culture. I was there. I can tell you this as a testimony. Just barely, but I was there. A very different culture from what is today. John and I sometimes watch Turner Classics before the 60s. Some of them are absolutely delightful. And you can watch them and relax. You don't have to be afraid you're going to be confronted or affronted. You don't have to be afraid that suddenly someone nude is just going to pop up for no good reason. Or that God's name is going to be taken in vain. It's never going to happen. Is that safer? I just want to ask you that question. Wasn't that safer? So there were tremendous blessings. We just observed that. You know, I saw one of those movies. I just loved it. It was at the earthquake in San Francisco. And Clark Gable had lost Greer Garson for sure. Couldn't find her anywhere. He found her doing mission work. And Clark Gable knelt down and prayed to God to save him. I love seeing Clark Gable getting saved. But I want to tell you something else. The whole atmosphere in those movies acknowledges God. If it's a war movie, the generals pray to God and they thank God. And they may play hymns in it. No, I'm not yearning for the good old days because this is the days we have. I'm just trying to get you to see the picture. There was a great revolution that took us down the road the enemy wanted us to go. You know, it just came to me yesterday. The people who actually broke into the slogan, "Don't trust anyone over 30," are now 55. And I wonder if they are any more trustworthy than those they were afraid of. No, corruption in government is not going to cease as far as I have been able to observe. And these things that we deal with, it just happens. It's just human nature. Now we're in another season. Some people like to call it the post-Christian season. It followed two major events that changed the atmosphere in our nation. And those two major events was legalizing killing babies and letting innocent blood be spilled in our nation. And at the same time, approved of by arrogant, high-minded, intractable individuals who were mad at us for not believing it. And the other thing was prayer was taken out of schools. We never knew how much good the prayer was doing until we didn't have it. Through these actions, we invited God out of our lives as a nation. But when God is invited out, evil is invited in. And is there any wonder it seems to be open season against the souls of men in the day that we live in? Now back to my original statement. I felt the Lord showed me to be aware of the season I'm working in order to be productive in His purpose. Through the earlier days of the charismatic renewal, because of atmosphere created in that season, people were hungry. I mean, I went all kinds of... It was like when I ministered in Ukraine and I ministered in the Army Scientific Training Center. 100 people sitting there, and one of the leaders saying, "We believe that we've been told about Jesus today, and we can all become Christians." It was just as likely then as it is unlikely now. It was a season. The Lord showed me at that time that it was a window of opportunity, and we need to get ourselves together and get into that. And we did. We just prayed and chose a city that had 1 million people in it and went there. And God gave us tremendous fruit because it was the season. And in the days of the charismatic renewal, the atmosphere, people were very hungry. About the time we started this work in the early 70s, people were hungry for the Word of God. And that there was an organization called Full Gospel Businessmen, or some call it the Full Businessmen's Gospel. It's kind of like men who have breakfast together. They're full gospel businessmen, but they're also, well, never mind, you get the point. And then there was a glow. You know why this was? Is because people rose up from the ranks. This wasn't headed by pastors. This is people like Sam and Jay said, oh, we just love God. We love the Holy Ghost. We want to go give our testimony. Those were beautiful days. They were wonderful days. It's not exactly like that today. We've got to find a different approach because a lot of people are not a bit hungry. For one reason, the devil has invited 10,000 distractions, and we keep being seduced by them. They had a great desire in those days to know the Holy Spirit and to be filled and led by Him. And because of these things I've mentioned, the atmosphere has changed now. And the attitude of our nation has changed. And we can't put today's people in yesterday's mentality. They have a different mentality. Don't expect younger people today to think just like you do. Because they're not going to. It's a different day. They've come up in a different way. That doesn't mean they won't receive the gospel. But it does mean we have to recognize this. And we have to find ways to get to them. I just jotted down three things, what this means. Number one, it is more difficult because the enemy has devised 10,000 distractions to keep people from feeling their need of God. If you can fill up your little emotional tank with all kinds of other different attractive things the enemy has, you might have to come to a deep crisis before you'll really feel your need of God. Secondly, it's not too hard for God, but we must realize how to pray and how to reach people for Him today. We're going to have to pour on the timber praying, church. We've got more reason to pray today than we did then. People were more open. They were more receptive. Their minds had not been... What is that word? Desensitized. I was going to say enculturated. Is that the right word? What? And there was built a different culture than what you and I had known before, or that what many of us had known before. And we have to realize that. So we need more prayer because of the lack of sensitivity. And we need revival, number three. We need revival, and thank God for the move of the Spirit today. I thank God for the move of the Spirit today in this house. I thank God that people responded to the Holy Ghost today. And that's what we need. And we need more of that. And how did we get that? We got that through prayer. It's people who prayed. And you know, we have corporate prayer meetings here. We pray on Tuesday morning. We pray on Friday evening. We pray on pre-service prayer now, thank God, at 9:45. We're not going to get any further unless we really press in and give ourselves to prayer. This is just a fact. Now, the other choice is that you can go over and have yourself the kind of church that does it by events and by programs and doesn't really have the presence of God but does have a lot of hype. You can do that. But we know the glorious living presence of the Holy Ghost, and we want Him. We don't want that. So you've got to understand the season that you're in and acknowledge that, and then work in the season that you're in. I want to close with this thought. You know, Joseph went from the pit to the prison to the palace. The scripture says that God sent Joseph to Egypt to be a deliverer. That's in your Bible, Psalm 105. And He sent him there to be a deliverer. Do you know, just because God's called you to be a deliverer doesn't mean everybody's going to applaud you or receive you or even like you. Joseph, his brothers abused him. His friends in prison let him down. And Mrs. Potiphar falsely accused him. It's hard to be falsely accused. It's hard to be let down. It's hard to be abused. But here's what the scripture says about him, Psalm 105, verse 19. Until that time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried Joseph. And the king then sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. Now Joseph is stuck between two words here. He's got the word of God that God has sent him and anointed him to deliver, and the promise of God that he's going to do it and that God will lead him and order his footsteps. He's got that word, but I'm going to tell you, until the time that the breakthrough word comes, that God causes that to happen, that last word you got is going to try the daylights out of you. The word of the Lord tried Joseph. Well, I thought he said this. I thought God was going to. Oh, I had ideas of how God was going to do things. I'm so glad people used to ask us if they wanted to know what our master plan was here. And I would say, we just let the master plan it, a step at a time. God didn't give me a blueprint. I'm so glad that I didn't have it all laid out in steps. I'd be more frustrated than I am. If you let God lead you one step at a time, you can work his way in his season. And we start telling God how he's going to do things, we're going to get ourselves in a lot of trouble. Finally, the day came that the king sent and loosed him and set him free. But look at all the things that Joseph had to go through before he got that way. He was not a princy feather. He was not somebody that God pampered. And in spite of some modern teaching, God does not watch out for you to see that nothing bad ever happens to you. I mean, a lot of good things are getting ready to happen to you, but there's going to be problems along the way. I would be a lying preacher if I don't tell you that. Guess how I found out? We got to catch on to this. Jay, I want you to come. I'm gonna come and sit down here, because before I finish, and this is what I'm doing to finish here, I want to tell you one little story that I think will be helpful to you. And I think it could open your eyes to appreciate working and being faithful in the season that you are in. There's not many of us that greatly excel in patience. Let me say it that way. We all have a certain amount of patience, and some people think they're patient and they're only lazy. Now, patience is working in faith while you're waiting. See, that's what real patience is. So I'm thinking about the wise and foolish virgins. This is a most interesting story, because the scripture says, Jesus said, the kingdom is like, it's in Matthew 25, the kingdom is like 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And they all had oil, but 5 of them, the 5 wise virgins, had oil in their vessels and took vessels with them with oil. The foolish virgins says they took their lamps, but they didn't take any oil for them. Now, you know, you can have so much oil. Let's say that's the Holy Spirit in the life of God. You can have so much oil in you. You can have so much oil you're carrying around with you by ways that you know how to get the oil. Or you can just be a person who doesn't really think much about it. You're just floating along. Pastor said, this is a season. I'll be out of this pretty soon. But are you going to have any oil when you get to the end? Will you have enough oil that he'll open the door to you? I mean, will you still be in that relationship with him, being faithful? Because in the parable, he shuts the door. Because while the 5 foolish virgins are going back to get oil, the door is closed. I think it means closed opportunities, in light of the fact that it obviously means we have to be ready to meet Jesus. The word there, the root word for foolish virgins. It goes back to the root word moron. So some of them did the wise thing and others were just morons about it. See, you can't be moronic about the things of God. Moronic just means your elevator didn't come all the way up. This is what's wrong with some of us. We haven't applied what we know to reality. Seasons aren't just things that, hey, last night the storm woke me up. My phone rang and told me, hey, there's going to be a bad storm. Like I needed to be awakened to be told that. But you know what I did? I have a little black cover that I put over my eyes. And I said, now, thunder, if you won't be too loud, I won't pay attention to the lightning, and we'll just sleep on through this. Because I know it's going to be over. We're going to come to the other side of it. But I'm going to tell you what we've got to understand. There are wise virgins. The virgins loved him. And there are foolish virgins who also loved him. They just didn't walk through their season so that they could come out right in the end. So, you know, so when they realized how they had ended, you see, some people, what happened to that oil that they had? Well, you use oil up just living life. You use it up, just survive it. And you use it up being used in ministry and learning the ways of God so that you're going to have to keep on acquiring oil, church. That's why you got to pray. And ask for the Holy Spirit to come to you afresh every day. You can't, and by the way, don't think you can sail in on somebody else's skirt tail. That's what the foolish virgin thought. Hey, this church, if it does anything, it's going to go to heaven. I'm just going to go to church and I'll go to heaven. Well, my Bible says you've got to have your own oil. And you'll have your own oil if you understand it's a season. All these things we're going through are seasons. Some of them don't feel so good. Some of them are preparation. Some of them are dark seasons. Some of them are just seasons the church is in. And I can, like I said to God, well, I can't do anything about it. The world is in this shape. And so now we've got to minister to the world the way it is today. I'm just telling you, people used to be crazy back in the early days of the charismatic movement. It was just the craziest days to be alive. And you'd just go someplace to minister. Maybe you're going to be there 2 or 3 days. I just happened to be in ministry. I didn't really know much at all. I was glad nobody had a real big shovel to dig in me to see how deep I was. I just shared what little bit I had, and people just loved it. And they wanted me to come back and share just another cup full with them. Because somehow there'd been a breakthrough and people got hungry suddenly. And church, that's what we need more than anything else. People are not hungry. I read recently, well, pastor, when you plan, you got to realize you can only get people to church once a week. And so you've got to, oh, yeah, you can pray. It's not about getting the people to church any times. It's about embracing what needs to be done to get what God gets done and not counting, not serving him with our finger on our pulse. But saying, Lord, my life is for you, and I want to do something wonderful for you. So while you're there ministering, you know, you get a phone call and that they want to speak to you because you know their need. You remember me, I'm the woman in the yellow dress laying under the piano last night. You know, lovely conversations like that. In ordinary days like this, nobody's laying under the piano. The people are just sitting in their chairs saying, amen. And somebody preaching to him has to say, well, somebody say amen. Dr. Pickett, you say I brought my own amens if you don't have any. Now, I'm not talking about you because you guys are responding, especially today. But what I want to tell you is we need to be alive every Sunday. We need to be always responding. We need to get our lamps full. We don't need to be moronic virgins in this thing we're going through. I'm using that word because you'll remember it. You wouldn't use it if I said foolish. You wouldn't remember it. So here's what I want to say to us today. I hope the Holy Spirit has let us have a little bit better understanding about his seasons. And then you know better how to walk. And the enemy's always trying to tell you, you will never get out of this. He's a liar and the father of lies. And the fact is, whatever season you're in right now, God has already provided. By the way, he's provided for you to get out of it. He already has the things planned for you to do after you get out of it. Do you know you serve a God that big? That's the kind of things that he does. I want us to stand together in His presence here for a moment. And here's what I want you to do. I would like for you, Eddie, you can go ahead and play for us. I would like for you, you feel like that you're in a season, you've been in a season right now, and you just want to come forward and say, Pastor, I wish you'd just pray for me that I'd have faith to endure and that I would have wisdom, that I would want to know exactly how I can operate in this season. You know, dark season, financial problem season, sickness season, preparation season, these different kinds of things that we go through. But you know you need strength for it, don't you? Come on up here. Those of you that feel that need today, I want strength to go through this season. I want the Lord to take me through the season. And I want Him to give me revelation, both about the season I'm in and about the ones that I'm going to be going through. You know, as I look at Joseph, would you come a little closer so you make room for others coming? When I look at Joseph's life, I really do feel sorry for Joseph, because he tried so hard and he did things right, but that's not always the key to everything, you know. There still are these difficult things, and I've had friends in the ministry that have been through some really hard things, but I want you to know that Jesus is here for you today, and He cares about what you are going through. And I want to believe God together, and those of you that are standing in the congregation, you can just feel free to open your hands to the Lord or lift your hands. And we're just going to get hold of a fresh measure of grace, fresh measure of grace today. Those of you standing before me, why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord? Lord, we need You today. We need You. We need You. Thank You, Lord, that Your Word has brought revelation and understanding to me today. And I thank You, Lord, that You know the end from the beginning. I praise Your name, Lord, that You know exactly where I am in this particular season. But I want to be like the wise virgins. And I want to keep my vessel and my lamp full of oil. Because, Lord, Your Word says that all the virgins went to sleep. Even the ones that loved You, even the ones that had oil. Lord, we all get weary waiting for You to break through. But we just say today, we're believing You, Lord. We have our lamp with us. We want You filled up with oil today. Fill our oils, fill our lamps up with oil, and show us how every day of our lives to reach out and get new and fresh oil. Fill us, fill us, fill us, fill our cups to overflowing today. We need more of You. We acknowledge that we need more of You. Lord, these ways that we have to walk, they're not easy. But You let Moses go through it, and You let Paul go through it. You let David go through it. You let Joseph go through it. And Lord, we know this is Your way to make a man, to make a woman. And we say, Lord, burn out all the dross in me. And during this time, above everything else, give me grace that I won't falter. That I won't falter. And that I'll keep getting wisdom from You, Lord. That I'll keep hearing Your voice. And I thank You for the lifting up of the Holy Spirit. You can put your hands down for a minute, those of you in front of me. I wonder if there's anybody before we go this morning, anyone that's visiting with us today. Because people have been coming back to the Lord lately, and people have been giving their hearts to God. Is there any here this morning that you want to lift your hand and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I want to repent of my sins and come to Him. Or maybe you've been away from Him. You're just not seeking Him anymore. But you want to say, today, I want to start seeking Him, and I need God to give me grace to do that. Is there anyone that wants to lift your hand and ask for prayer for that? If you do, then I'll pray for you. Just simply put your hand up, and we're going to believe God together, because He's the God that answers prayer, isn't He? He knows what your needs are. He knows what your needs are. And He wants to touch your life. Now, Father, I believe You this morning for everyone standing here in Your presence today. You're the God of the impossible. You're the God of the difficult. You're the God of what is confusing. We cast all our cares on You. And we come to say we want to be free. You said You'd make us free indeed. And we come today to declare that that is our right. And that is Your promise. And we've come to receive at your hand today. Now, Lord, heal us, save us. Break through on our financial difficulties. Give us wisdom to walk through the things that we don't understand. Most of all, show us who you are in it. We want to know you to really know you. And thank you for encouraging our hearts today. We give you praise and honor and glory. Eddie, would you lead a worship song? Let us worship him before we go this morning.
I surrender.
Ah, yes, we do.
All.
Thank you, Lord.
I surrender.
Lay it all down.
All to thee, my blessed Savior.